care matters because you matter to Christ.
What affects your soul affects your body, and you are only as helpful to others as you are healthy.
Welcome to the Soul Care Matters podcast. Welcome back to the Soul Care Matters podcast. I think I am more excited for this episode than any episode we have ever done on the Soul Care Matters podcast in our ongoing series on friendship, because I get to record an episode with three of my dearest friends today, who I am now going to let introduce themselves to you.
Hey, I'm Evan. I am an assistant pastor at College Park over stewardship and young adult ministries. I'm married to my beautiful and wonderful wife, Elaney, for almost 10 years now. And we have two kiddos, the amazing 4-year-old Zeke and the 1.5-year-old Zoe. And I've been friends with these guys 4 to 5 years now, is what it feels like. Feels like a lot longer than that, though, in a good way, not in a bad way.
I am Alex Anderson. I work here at College Park as well as the pastor of Sunday and student ministries. I've been at the church for a long time, over a decade. I have a family. I've been married for almost 11 years. And to my wife, Kayla, I have 3 children, Brinley, who is 8, Brecken, who is 6, and Brea, who is 4, going on 14. I have been friends with these homies for, I don't know, I inserted myself into the friendship. Whenever I did that is when I became friends with these guys.
And I'm Kevin. I am the worship pastor at a church called 242 Community Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But before that, I was in Indianapolis with these guys for about 4 years. Been friends about 4 years. Worked for various people on this call in different capacities. I think everyone but Evan's been my boss at one point. I'm married to Natalie, my beautiful, amazing wife. We have a 1.5-year-old, recently moved to Ann Arbor in September, and are loving it up here.
And while that broke all of our hearts, we are excited for Kevin, who is joining us today from a community center. So if you hear kids in the background or anything like that, that's because Kevin does not have his own space just yet for podcasting, but I'm sure it's coming. I realized I did not introduce myself. Our listeners will know I'm Ryan Berg, one of your hosts. Jeff Ballard could not handle all the awesomeness on this call today, so he is not joining us, but I'm excited to be with my buddies and talk a little bit more about friendship. We have kind of introduced this series by acknowledging the challenge that friendship tends to present for many folks. I mentioned in the intro episode that last year in 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General actually declared a loneliness epidemic in the United States and all of the various physical and mental health consequences that come along with that, and then went on to talk about how, in general, friendship is on the decline. And being that friendship has been one of the most requested topics that we've had from listeners to discuss on the show, I think that's really true on the ground level here, where most of our listeners are as well. So we just kind of wanted to talk about friendship. I will open up by saying that friendship for me personally has been an ongoing challenge. And I would say now, 4 years in here in Indianapolis at College Park, is the strongest level of friendship that I have had. And it's with these guys, and I'm thrilled to have them on. But guys, let me just open it up to whoever would like to jump in. When you think about the Surgeon General's warning and the idea of loneliness on the uptick and friendship on the downturn, why do you think that friendship is diminishing and such a challenge for folks?
I think in general, friendship is something that takes a lot of vulnerability and it costs something. And I think a lot of times we can be led to believe and encouraged to only do things that will further us professionally or monetarily. And friendship isn't always that way, right? Friendship is something that is an intangible thing that we benefit from. It's not something we are taught to prioritize. Still super important to our mental health and also living a life that is full of joy.
Let's talk for a minute. I think the way I'd like to go about this episode is, as each of you raise a point, I want to just spend a couple of minutes discussing it. Kevin mentioned one of the challenges of friendship is that it requires vulnerability. So let's talk about that for a little bit. The term vulnerability comes up a lot on this podcast. We have a recurring segment where we talk about the need to be both transparent and vulnerable. Alex or Evan, what do you think is so hard about being vulnerable on kind of a friendship peer to your peer level?
Depending on who you are, there is a point where everyone's got their own story. And so I bring my story to the table. I feel a sense of, will my story fit their story, or will my story offend their story? Will my story be something that's edifying to their story? And for me, I can overthink if my vulnerabilities will actually be beneficial to the friendship. That's ultimately what I want in the friendship. I want to be beneficial because I like to give to the friendship and not always receive from the friendship. And so when I think of vulnerability and that kind of terminology around a friendship, as my wife and I would say, it takes two to tango in the relationship, right? And so to be able to give the vulnerability, but also receive the vulnerability from friendships, knowing that there will be no shame involved, that there will be no judgment involved, that at the end of the day, I can say what I need to say. And the three of you on this podcast are either going to very lovingly correct me, or sometimes maybe it doesn't feel so lovingly correct me, or will also then encourage me or admonish me. That's also in the Bible. That's kind of how I would bring it to the table, that you had to be both willing to give said vulnerability and receive the vulnerability within the trust of the friendship, which takes time.
I think too, the human factor of all of us being broken, brokenness kind of goes two ways. The fact that I have my own brokenness that I don't want people to see, I don't want people to know about. Personally, I have a struggle with wanting to be a burden to people. And if I bring my brokenness into a group, there's a legitimate possibility that I would be rejected, which would only add to that pool of tears, if that makes sense. There's a large risk when it comes to vulnerability that if I'm going to let you know me, this just might add to the ocean of sadness that I feel like I already carry by myself that feels pretty heavy. And on the other side of the brokenness is you could, maybe it's not rejection, but maybe as Alex said, it's offense. You could harm me. I'm opening my life up to let you in and your brokenness might affect me. And that's pretty scary.
Friendship, all relationships, but especially friendship, is inherently taking on risk. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I often teach in the counseling office is that every single human being enters every single context of their life. Say you walk into a room full of people, you're effectively scanning the horizon, trying to determine whether or not this is a safe place for you to show up as just yourself. If I show up as me, how am I going to be received here? You know, one of the ways that I often define friendship is when you sign on to be friends with someone, you sign on for their weaknesses as well as the benefits that they bring to your life. When you can scan the horizon and see your friends there and say, yeah, I can show up as just me, even if just me today is not in the best space, that is where vulnerability has paid off. That's kind of the win of vulnerability, because then you have the opportunity to just be received just as you are. We're kind of talking through, why is loneliness on the rise and friendship on the downturn? What other thoughts do you guys have?
I think I had an unrealistic expectation of what friendship would be as I got older. I think I knew what I thought friendship was in middle school and high school, and you kind of gets handed to you in such a way because you don't have to go make these decisions kind of on your own. And then you go to college and it's the same sort of deal and you're kind of navigating your way through. It's another transitional period. And then you get into a job. And I just think I had an unrealistic expectation of what I thought friendship would be. And then you get into your 30s and you kind of go like, whoa, like, where am I? And who are my people? And what am I doing? Maybe even culture sets up friendship in a way that's not actually true. Friendship from a cultural maybe perspective looks really glamorous and it looks great. And I go on vacations and I go on shopping sprees and I go do this and I have no responsibilities. But in reality, you have to manage your time well in order to have friendship that does work well.
So let's talk a little bit about this. We've just acknowledged stage of life and things like that make it hard to make friends, especially when you're older. This is the demographic that has asked for this episode is basically our demographic, our kind of age range. So let's talk about it. How did we become friends? What are your memories of that? How did that transpire? I remember waking up one day and being like, I have such good friends. I'm so grateful. And then being like, how did I become friends with these people? Like, where did this come from?
For me, I think Evan and I became friends first because Evan was a resident at College Park and I came in as a resident as well. And so we were hanging out once a week at work. And then we started hanging out, not just at work. And then we were in a small group together. That just kind of grew into our wives became really close friends. Evan is the one who married my wife and I. We had a small group 5 years that we just did life together. Alex was my boss for a little while before I left for Michigan. So we worked on the student team together. We did a lot together just in the student world before that. And then Ryan, you and I became friends, I think, through SoulCare. The residents had to meet with a SoulCare counselor as a part of our residency. And then we just kind of hit it off. And it was like, hey, I like this guy. Let's continue to hang out. Then you did our premarital. And then our wives became friends. And that's kind of how it all happened.
I want to point out one thing from the way Kevin talked about that. Sometimes it is proximity. So we were all in each other's orbits already, but there was still risk involved. Think about, I don't know if Alex or Evan want to jump in and talk about this, any kind of risk you felt entering into friendship.
I did have a little bit of risk in that, I mean, this sounds weird, but I was Kevin's boss. That's a risky, not normal environment for people. That was a level of risk. And I think in our sphere of work, I have always kind of been told like, yeah, I have a few friends in the church world that you work in, but make sure you have a lot of friends outside of it so you have people to talk to. While on one level, I found that really helpful, I also found that to be really lonely. In my mind, I think I thought it was a risk because of what I had maybe been taught.
We're all in ministry and not everybody listening is, but I remember reading a book in seminary first year, one of my first classes in seminary explicitly stated pastors should be very careful to have friends with inside their flock. And I just remember that just bristling in my soul. Like, I don't know if that feels like our brokenness. That doesn't feel like necessarily what we've been created for. So that's just a comment. What's broken the mold for me is the last 5 years at College Park. So getting to know Kevin. So I've known Kevin for like 5 years and been friends. Ryan about 4, Alex about 3.5. That's kind of strange how that's all worked. But I felt inherent risk with Kevin because Kevin's just a really cool guy and I am not. I remember having a session with Ryan and just saying, I'm never going to ask Kevin to hang out. I'm always going to wait for him to ask me to hang out because I don't want to face rejection. Even though Kevin would never reject me like that, I think the amount of energy it would take for me to ask him to hang out and then the reciprocating, hey, I'm too busy, would crush me because of my own insecurities at that point in my life.
Do you remember how I responded to you making that statement?
You said, if Kevin heard me say that, he'd be brokenhearted.
Yeah. And I also told you that was stupid. I said, Kevin is just a guy. Like, if he says no, so what? He's just a guy. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things behind that. You know, we understand. But there was inherent risk that we all just, I think, at some point stepped into. I don't know how consciously. The risk for me was that at one point or another, all three of these guys, I have helped walk through somewhat hard things. Yeah. You have not lived until you've done Kevin Myers premarital counseling. I'm the only one who will ever get to claim that. But
Ryan, is it fair to say that each one of us, so me, Kevin, and Evan, met you and our introduction to you was us sitting on your couch?
Ryan can't say that, but I guarantee we could all confirm it.
Which is part of my story. So much of my world revolves around the people that God sends into my life to help. Some of my biggest friendship wounds have come from that, and some of my biggest friendship blessings have come from that too. It's like a big part of the story, but there's inherent risk. And so that's actually one of the things that I want listeners to maybe take away is, yes, friendship is inherently accompanied by risk, but sometimes in order to have a good quality friendship, you have to take the risk. I've been reading this book by Justin Early on friendship, and one of the things that he kind of emphasizes in there is sometimes you just have to try. Sometimes you just have to go talk to someone. Sometimes you have to ask someone to hang out. It almost sounds like dating. You're asking someone out. It's not, but at the same time, the risk is actually similar. So I want to read this quote. It's a little bit long, but I want to read this quote from Justin Early's book and get your guys' thoughts on it. Because again, we're talking about friendship as like the contrast to the huge uptick in loneliness. He talks about the loneliness epidemic and he says, how do we drift toward loneliness? The ways are as infinite as they are invisible. We tend to move for jobs, not people. We tend to build back decks, garages, and other architecture that draws us away from one another instead of front porches and sidewalks that push us together. We tend to mediate our relationships with technology, and in parentheses he says that may be the wildest understatement of the book, says the clubs and associations that formerly gave people myriad intangible connections have now almost entirely disappeared. We tend to gather in front of glowing screens to relax alone rather than in front of glowing fires to relax together. As you can see from the footnotes, which you can't see because it's an audio podcast, but entire books have been written about each of these trends. Most of them you probably already recognize, but what you might not realize is that when all of these are put together, you live in a fierce current. Basically, his point is culture itself seems to push against friendships being established and especially against friendships thriving. So I'd love to get some feedback from you guys on this quote. Tell me what your thoughts are when you hear that and maybe even how that has looked in our friendships.
One of the things that I think of when I hear that is he's obviously talking about your phone and the technology that we're surrounded by that just, and I don't want to be that guy who continues to talk about this because I feel like it comes up everywhere, but I feel like our phones and our technology scream at us every day, myself included, you are all that matters. It is a life about you. And it necessarily doesn't lead to reminding you you've been created for community and you've been created to be with others. I couldn't agree more with his quote.
I am tempted to not hang out, I'll say, with you guys. It's typically out of a selfish ambition because I am tired or I am peopled out, which is a rarity for me, but I can get there. Things of that nature. And when I look externally, that's not the truth. It's because it's about me. And I have to be reminded often by one of you three, you will be better because you came to hang out. Yeah, you are tired. And I want to encourage you in your tiredness. And so that takes another, we go all the way back to the very beginning, a vulnerable friend and an honest friend to kind of say, yeah, I know you're tired and I get that, but I need you too, or you need us too. And so I think that you drift towards loneliness when all you think about is your inward self to say, I just need this because you think that you can fix you. In that, I think it has to do with it is the consistency of the friendship. I think you can drift towards loneliness when things aren't consistent, because I think it would maybe go back to Evan on, am I wasting my time by being involved in this friendship if it's not actually going to show up? Like, we hang out on Thursday evenings. It's almost sacred. We push each other to be there. Our wives now at this point, well, mine is, she is now frustrated that I am home, you know, because she's like, you're a better man by being with these men, and I value that relationship in your life because you need that in your life. So I think you can drift towards loneliness when you think that you're okay and when you think you don't need it.
And I will just add about the consistency. One thing that is unequivocally true in 13 years of counseling folks is that you always make time for the things you want most. I mean, you always figure out a way to make time for the things that you want most. So on those nights when I'm tired and I'm like, oh, I don't want to, it does come down to what I want most is to serve me. And every single time that I force myself to go anyway, I drive home and I'm like, I'm really glad I did that. I'm really glad I went and spent time with those guys. And I feel energized for at least another day to go and be human for at least one more day. All right, guys. So another thing I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about is not all friendships are all like sunshine and butterflies all the time. Sometimes there is conflict in relationships, especially in friendships. And so part of friendship is somewhat the skill of conflict resolution, but also being willing to be on both sides. In some ways, the confronter, in some ways, the confronted. So let's talk a little bit about how that has worked in our friendship.
Your brokenness comes into your friendship. You also are opening yourself up to other people's brokenness. And my life seems to be more my brokenness affects other people, which then is translated that for some reason, and I don't know how many times I've told my wife this, not many, but they're just every once in a while, Ryan, you and I, and I wish you could see my hands. I just tell my wife, it's like, honey, it's like Ryan and I just like rub against each other and our bristly sides kind of come out a little bit. And most of the time it's my fault. Actually, every couple of months, it feels like some of my brokenness comes out or I take something the wrong way. And then Ryan and I have to kind of come to the table and talk. Alex was there on the last one to mediate it on a Thursday night. One thing that was really cool as Ryan just said, you have to be willing to take both sides. That's both you personally being willing to put yourself in the other person's situation and try and be curious, as Ryan would tell me, and Ryan and I have come to the agreement of we have to almost vow to each other. We're going to believe the best about one another. And we're not going to assume each other's intentions to be negative. What was cool is Alex just sat and listened to both sides. And then he genuinely said, hey, I see both perspectives here. But it also took myself and Ryan humbling ourselves and seeing like, oh, this guy actually, I actually see what he's saying. And I see why he feels that way. Those nights have actually been more formative than the nights where everything's just kind of happy-go-lucky.
I have shared that story without details or names with multiple kind of circles that I run in, and people are just shocked that friends would be humble enough to have a conversation like that. In a group of counselors that I kind of meet with, I brought this up and they were shocked. And I said, well, how do you guys handle conflict? And they were like, passive aggressive, total avoidance, rage, and then leave the friendship altogether. Like, they're all what sound to me like really rough ways of handling conflict. And I will say, God has really blessed our crew with the ability to work through things. And I think it comes down to a willingness to let the other person say hard things to you when they need to be said. Several months ago, actually, interestingly enough, Alex and Kevin both said this to me separately at the same time, that they thought that I was as unhealthy as they had ever seen me, something along those lines. And instantly I wanted to be like, you don't know me. I'll try to act like you know me. But the truth is they both know me very, very well, and they were spot on, and it was absolutely correct. But them even just bringing that up, I think really allowed me to go to the table, even just with the Lord myself, and say, what's happening inside me? What's going on in my heart and in my mind right now that I need to deal with? And then I was able to talk to all of these guys and kind of process through some of that stuff. Kevin or Alex, what are your thoughts on conflict and friendship and kind of working through that?
I naturally am a person who avoids conflict like the plague. Sad is bad is my life mantra.
Sad right. is not.
Put it in the big toe and just leave it. The sentiment that Ryan shared about like friendships being this thing that if there's conflict, like either you just kind of work it out yourself and then you pretend it never happened, or you just let it fester and then you just like remove yourself from the friendship and then, oh no, it's gone. And that's been my experience with friendships pretty much all through high school, college, post-college. And it wasn't until this group of friends that I felt safe enough to bring sadness, to bring anger, to bring seemingly negative emotions into a friendship where I knew I wasn't going to be cast out for feeling the emotions that I was feeling. And that not only is a big deal because it's the first time I've experienced that in friendship, but it's helped me unlearn a lot of things even about myself. And it's impacted my marriage, like all of these things where it's okay, if I feel safe enough with this person, how do I bring these negative emotions in a healthy way to my guys? But then how do I then get to a point where and maybe it's not in one night, right? But over time, how do we work through these things? And I can see them at work, or I can see them at small group or just throughout the week. And it's not this awkward, like, well, we had tension kind of thing, but it's a nah, like that's a brother that I love. And maybe I disagree with on something, or I'm feeling this thing that they don't understand, or all of those sort of things. It's a safety thing. And kind of going back to vulnerability, if you have friends that you're able to be vulnerable with, you're able to bring your brokenness, and you're going to have conflict because brokenness, meeting brokenness is always a messy thing. The beauty of friendship is when two people can acknowledge their brokenness and come together and exist in that, and then still like iron sharpen iron. Even if you don't agree at the end of it, you're both better for having the discussion and then you're moving on.
It's that whole idea of scanning the horizon to see if I'm safe to show up as me. There is no more frightening horizon than conflict. And being able to show up as just who you are in the middle of conflict, I would say, quite honestly, is one of the greatest gifts God has given me in life, but especially in friendship together.
One of the greatest gifts in friendship, and I think part of God's design, is friendship will reveal your deepest fears. some of the deep wounds that you have. Some of them can, they will be revealed, but then it's also a ground for healing to happen in that over and over again sometimes.
One thing I think that we're all committed to, kind of at the foundation of who we are, is that moving towards Jesus makes hard things better. Having people in your life that remind you of that when it feels like moving towards Jesus is either going to make things worse sometimes, or what seems more real in my life sometimes is ineffective at changing my circumstances. Having friends that will push you a little bit, that you've given permission to push you a little bit. And these guys do that for me, and I'm so grateful. Well, guys, as we kind of wrap up this podcast, one thing that I want to maybe get all of you to weigh in on briefly is there's probably people listening to this podcast right now, as it is the second most requested topic that we've had. There's probably people listening right now that are hearing this and are probably thinking, well, good for you guys. You guys all found each other and our friends, but I don't have that. What's maybe one thing you would encourage them to do in their lives if they're seeking some healthy friendships?
I'm in this process right now, having just moved to Michigan, a place that we don't really have any ties. I have a couple of people that I've known for a while here, but not like super close friends or anything. Something that my wife and I are really honestly struggling with and praying about is, what does our community even look like? We were in Indy for 4 years, and you heard me mention, I think, every single one of these guys and their wives, like becoming a part of my family, right? My wife's family, and us just being able to come together and build this thing over 4 years. Something that we're believing that the Lord is going to bring in this new season is friendships that it's not going to look the same, right? It's not going to look like my friendship with you three guys, but we are trying to find who are the people that the Lord is bringing to our circles that are people that we can be vulnerable with, that we can be honest with, that are like geographically close to us. And there's some practicality with that. And so the thing that we've had to continuously remind each other of is every single person that we're looking to be friends with is a broken individual, and nobody's going to be perfect. They're not going to expect that of us, and we can't expect that of them. And then the second thing is, Natalie and I actually just talked about this. Sometimes the person that you did not see yourself getting super close with is the person that the Lord's bringing into your life. Each of us can maybe even say something about that in this friendship. If you would have told me none of my like super close-knit friends in Indianapolis were going to be musicians, I'd have been like, man, get out of here. Then I look at this screen and I'm like, man, we each came from such a different background. We have different passions in life and all these things. But because the Lord brought us together and we were able to share life with one another. Like, I don't think when I first came to College Park, I would have put the four of us together, but the two the Lord brought into our proximity, being able to trust that the Lord is putting the people in your circle that are going to build you up, then leaning into those friendships, even if it's not the one that you envisioned, it's the one that the Lord's provided. That's where we've really found the blessing of these friendships.
Ryan used to only be able to take me in doses.
Can confirm.
To kind of piggyback off Kevin. I mean, that's so true. Again, I spoke about in my 30s, friendship has been hard. And I felt like no one around me understood me. And I felt like no one around me knew me. And I just remember going like, those three guys that hang out, I think it was four actually at the time, I think I need to go hang out with them because I have no pastoral friends. I need that in my life. I need guys that think like me. I need guys that want things like I want. And what I mean by that is like, I want to look like Jesus. Those guys are going to help me do that. So when I joked at the beginning that I kind of like inserted myself, I really did that. The risk for them was me to a level of degree. Sounds kind of funny. And if you're listening to this, if you know me, you'll know. At the same time, I think if I were looking for friends, that's kind of the question. If I were looking to not be lonely, if I were looking for friends, I would not probably start with trying to hang out with 17 people all the time. I think that gets overwhelming and you can't do it or provide in a friendship. I think you need to find two or three that you really can get close with. When we talk about risk, that brings a different level of risk, because in a group of 17, you can fly under the radar. Coming into a group that's two or three, that's no longer an option. If I were looking for friends, I would begin smaller rather than larger. I'm not saying you don't go to a ministry function. Like, you still go to a ministry function that has a large group of people at it. But within that large group of people, begin to search out and seek out people who you think will commit to you. I wouldn't always just necessarily go look for the people that look and think just like you.
Yeah.
And don't shoot for big aspirations that are going to be unachievable goals.
From my seat, I agree with everything that these two have said. And my story with this group is a little bit different in that Alex and Kevin and another guy were inviting me to hang out with him on a Thursday night in one of the darkest and loneliest seasons of my life, where I didn't know the antidote the Lord was giving me was friends who were inviting me into their life. I was scared. Quite frankly, I think that's unheard of. If someone is inviting you into their life, you might want to consider that to be a gift from God. And you might want to let that invitation, that gift of love someone is giving you, recognize that's a gift from the Lord. Because I didn't do that. It took a couple months. But then on the flip side, like I said, I don't think that's the norm. So I'm kind of a hypocrite when it comes to what I'm about to say. But in my ministry realm with young adults who are in this season of life, or in their, most of them are in their mid-20s or in their 30s and looking, they're either in a new town or they're in a new environment and they're looking for friends. One of the things I kind of prepare them for is that if you're looking for friends, if salesmen and women recognize that 90% of the calls that they're going to make are going to end in rejection and 10% will end in success. This, I don't want this to sound negative, but I just want to apply that to friendship, that go into this journey searching for friends, knowing that a couple of them aren't going to work out. And it's going to take failure at first in order to find the people that God has for you. So just brace yourself that if a friendship that you're hoping, that's happened to me, if a friendship that you're hoping becomes deep and it doesn't, that's okay. And it's going to be hard and you should feel sad. Wonder about you if you weren't sad because you experienced some level of unintentional rejection, but don't let that stop you. And I think for me personally, that's part of the reason why I was rejecting the invitation to hang out with these guys was, nope, I've been down that road before. That leads to pain and I don't need to go there. And actually the invitation that I was getting is exactly what the Lord was giving me and what I needed.
I don't have much to add other than just reminding listeners that fear is a liar and will work really hard to convince you that the other people in your life are somehow more than human. And they're not. People are human. Treat them as such. Take risks. Be vulnerable. Make time. Be consistent. And pray for it. God created us for relationships. He created us for friendships. Pray expectantly that that's something that God is going to bring into your life. And then enjoy and celebrate his good gifts, just like I celebrate these brothers. Guys, thanks for being on this call. This is fun. Being on this episode. For our listeners, I will put the link to Justin Early's book that I would highly recommend, Made for People, Why We Drift into Loneliness and How to Fight for a Life of Friendship. I will put it in the show notes, and I encourage you guys to pick that one up. Join in the conversation about this at College Park Soul Care. We would love to hear your thoughts on friendship and maybe start some dialogue back and forth. But for now, that's what we have for you on this episode of the Soul Care Matters podcast.
Thanks again for listening to the Soul Care Matters podcast. Join the conversation with us on Instagram by following us at College Park Soul Care or email us at info@collegeparksoulcare.com.
We'll be back with more helpful conversations in the next episode of the Soul Care Matters podcast.